Do you think, and this is maybe a touch controversial, do you think this is Abu Dhabi on a build it and they will come experiment? Or do you think Abu Dhabi have plans to redirect the ultra wealthy from Dubai in a small form, from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, to then soak up all of these new high value developments?
Hello and welcome to the Two Fat Brokers. I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
I'm Barney from Dubai.
And we're very happy to be joined by Fabrizio, also from Dubai. And today's topic, it's the end of the year, it's the end of 2024. So we're looking we're looking forward to the next year. And we talk about what we're expecting from 2025, what we're excited about, what we're not that excited
Fabrizio,
about.
Fabrizio, why don't you start by introducing yourself, just in case people don't know who you are.
Fabrizio Saltini here, partner
Sleepy
of
Fab.
Eden, partner of Eden Realty, partner of this, of the gentleman at my left.
I thought you were going to say the degenerate then.
Also. And friends with Ben.
Are we friends?
Cold. Benji, it's nearly the new year. Be kind.
I'm friends with everybody, so it's fine. You're my friend.
So yeah, we're going to talk about what we have to look forward to in 2025. I would like to start. I would like to think...
It's talkative today, yeah?
That, well, I'm the one that's had some sleep.
Yeah, true.
I would like to think that we're going to see a massive rise in Abu Dhabi. I can tell you for nothing...
Hey, stop commenting on my area of expertise. Yeah, leave me nothing to say.
Well, I'm tearing you up. I'm tearing you up. Mate, shush. Yeah. Be quiet. I would like to think... Because there's a lot more chatter about Abu Dhabi in Dubai, and a lot of the time, you know, people are just sort of centric and on the Dubai market. But there's a lot more chatter. There's a lot more, launches. Yeah, yeah. People are talking about you, bro.
Ben, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'd be
interested to hear.
You know, have you heard about Abu Dhabi recently, Fabrizio?
Yes, actually, three of my not biggest clients, so many big clients, but three of my good clients. Are spreading their portfolio to Abu Dhabi market, their luxury portfolio. So they're buying a lot of 10 million plus properties there, which is insane.
Which is like as big a property as you can get in Abu Dhabi, right?
Mate, no. There's a lot
Abu
of very expensive stuff there. There's a lot of expensive stuff there.
There's more now, but there's not that much.
Mate, there's a community around the lake. I don't know what's the name. Yeah, sorry, I'm not a specialist in Abu Dhabi. Right. Even if I live there.
Yeah. I'll help you. We don't have any legs.
Yeah. So there is like two or three 300 million dirham houses and then cheaper houses on the corner. But
300 million dirham houses?
And they're gone. One of them apparently was sold to a very well-known watchmaker.
Jacobson Mr. Rolex?
Really?
Yep. So there's a lot of big names dropping big money.
There's way too much money in watches. I mean, those watches are massively overpriced anyway. But
For you, for some people, it's just another weekend out.
No, overpriced is still overpriced. It's not that they're expensive. They're just overpriced.
I think it's a nice plastic-looking watch.
Yeah. Ooh, look at all the stripy colors that we've got.
I mean, in Abu Dhabi does have more expensive property, but I've never seen a property for 300 million. And
especially for three of them.
And recently it was reported in the National, I think it was the most expensive property ever sold in Abu Dhabi, went for 130 million.
Nobu.
Then it could be 150 million, not 300.
Okay. Oh, 50% off already.
It's definitely
fire sale.
It's definitely on that.
We've got
on
a
that.
Couple of penthouses at that kind of.
No, the villas. Yes. The villas.
Villas.
Yeah.
On a lake.
It's a cove of a beach or a lake. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get you the information, mate.
I'm not sure we can go to air with this. It started off as 300 million dirham villas on a lake. And now it's 150
was
million.
Was 1.5 million,
mate.
But I'm mean, not, to shorten it, I guess, so it's. So what we're saying is that there are some big Dubai investors who are now kind of looking towards Abu Dhabi.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Possibility.
Yeah, I still hold true that Dubai is way more fun than Abu Dhabi. But when you look at the bank accounts, Abu Dhabi are the guys that control the purse strings.
I don't think so, man. Like Abu Dhabi locals are very, very wealthy. But Dubai is a mainly foreigner market and a lot of big money on those foreigners' pockets, you understand? So I think
I'm
it's a complete
from a government level. From a federal
It's one government. You know,
I mean, so for people who don't know, so the most of the oil reserves are in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Most of the federal government is there. But obviously, Dubai is an incredibly successful, you know, a city in its own right. It's much bigger than Abu Dhabi.
From a different perspective,
it's
yeah.
It's a trading hub. Like, it's a merchant base. And it, as you say, it attracts people from all over the world, extremely wealthy people, you know, from India, from Russia, from China. Yeah. You know, and it has that draw that Abu Dhabi doesn't have yet, you know, in terms of... You know,
Abu Dhabi have one... That the ADGM is growing at incredible pace, and there's a lot of big banks being open in Abu Dhabi, crazy number of new licenses, and a lot of big guys actually establishing physical presence in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. I miss the capital.
Yeah, it's mad.
Well, so ADGM is just, so they've now extended ADGM, which is Abu Dhabi Global Markets, our version of the DIFC. They've extended it now to cover the whole of
the very successful version, I must say, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's quite new, isn't it?
Not new. New for you, maybe. You're uninformed.
10 years old, maybe.
I am uninformed. It's not. Yeah, it's quite new.
It's not as old as the DIFC for sure. But they've now extended it over to Ream Island, so it's now absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Like, so Ream Island probably has about 60 or 70 towers on it, and it's now been extended all the way across that. And effective 1st of January, Abu Dhabi Global Markets law will apply to Ream Island.
So for those not in the know, what is ADGM?
So it's basically an offshore free zone, the same way the GIFC is. So you can have 100% ownership of companies there, and it's treated as being offshore. It actually has its own real estate law. It has its own commercial law. It has a lot of its own separate laws, which is
It's mainly a financial hub, right?
Yeah, it's a financial free zone, basically. Yeah, that's a financial free zone.
Do you agree with us in our summation of Abu Dhabi? Is it something to be excited about for 2025? And if you say no, I think you might struck off.
Absolutely. I mean, we have this conversation a lot where, you know, Dubai house prices are shooting the moon still, and you know, still going up. Abu Dhabi's accelerating slowly. I think a report came out a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, we're at 8% growth year on year. You know, it's just nowhere near Dubai, but it is accelerating. That's kind of up from, like, you know, 3 to 5 to 8. So, you know, we're seeing that, and we are also seeing a lot more launches of expensive products. Before, Four million dirhams was an expensive house in Abu Dhabi, you know, and there weren't even that many of them. And now, you know, we're seeing a lot more launches, particularly by Aldar, places like Lagoons, like Nobu, like Samayas, you know, where the ticket prices are, you know, that much higher. And so I think they're deliberately catering for people who are being brought in by ADGM, you know, financiers, people working in the financial industry. You know, they're going to be looking for more expensive houses, more luxury, that kind of thing. And you know, it's starting to happen. Not much is handed over yet. It's all on plan at the moment.
Don't you think parts of Abu Dhabi are still very, very underpriced? Like, you have Sadia is selling really well, yeah? I wouldn't say Sadia.
Always has done, yeah.
I wouldn't say Sadia is underpriced. I think some of the products in Sadia are selling at the same price that Dubai is selling, which is quite high. But then across the road, you have Al Jurf.
Yep. I mean, Al Jurf is on the...
No, board. No, not Al Jurf, sorry.
Al
Jubail.
Yeah.
Mate, beachfront on a reserve selling at 500, 600 per square foot for me is a no-brainer. You buy a 25, 30,000 square foot land for 13, 14 million dirhams. It's for me, it's a no-brainer. You cannot lose money on this investment.
Yeah, I mean, they're not selling land there anymore. But
resale.
They did in the past.
Yeah. But resale, there's a lot of stuff from resale, and it's selling very cheap.
Is that freehold?
Freehold, yeah. And selling really cheap.
Yeah, it's very reasonable. It's very low density. That whole island is only about 1,500 units. So they got big gardens. It's low density.
And it's back to a beach. I mean, it's a natural reserve. You're inside a mangrove.
Yeah.
I mean, take any beach.
It won't have like proper beach because it's not open ocean, but it's inside the mangrove.
But still, is amazing. Like,
not worried about mosquitoes in a mangrove.
That's seawater.
Seawater. I mean, how can you grow mosquitoes in seawater?
I don't know. I'm not a mosquito expert, Fabrizio. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. All starts with the right water.
All starts with fresh water, apparently.
With not having salty water.
But to go back to it, like, if you compare Abu Dhabi with Dubai, Abu Dhabi is much cheaper. But, I mean, Dubai's been on an absolute tear for, like, the last
So
3 years.
Do you think, and this is maybe a touch controversial, do you think this is Abu Dhabi on a build-it-and-they-will-come experiment? Or do you think Abu Dhabi have plans to redirect the ultra wealthy from Dubai in a small form from Dubai to Abu Dhabi to then soak up all of these new high value developments?
There's no doubt that ADGM is competitive with the IFC and that they're in some form of competition, although they do try and specialize in different areas. But I don't think Abu Dhabi can compete with the gravitational pull that Dubai has for, you know, for high net worth individuals, particularly from places like India and Russia and stuff like that. But they do have their own niche. You know, they're obviously, you know, trying to attract companies who deal with government and the government of the UAE and all these financial companies as well. So Abu Dhabi is working hard to create some form of what Dubai has, but, you know, essentially it never will. It's still fundamentally funded, you know, funded by the government and the oil reserves and things like that, but they are trying to diversify. Like 2015 showed them that, you know, the oil shock can happen and that can be devastating to Abu Dhabi's finances. So they need to diversify and they're doing a great job. And ADGM is, you know, is one of the big drivers there. But I don't think, you know, there's not many people, I think, you know, moving from Dubai to Abu Dhabi just yet.
No, no, I don't think, but I think there's a strong draw to the UAE globally now, right? We've covered that extensively. And if Abu Dhabi can siphon off a slipstream of the ultra wealthy that are moving to the UAE as a whole, then obviously that's going to be to their benefit. They must have plans in which that they're going to be able to appeal, as you say, to a specific demographic moving to the UAE. But is that going to be in enough numbers to sate the demand, the supply?
Yeah, I mean, Abu Dhabi's always had very low supply. We've always been in the 2 and 3%. So supply has never been very high in Abu Dhabi. And I think we're talking probably about a bit too much about like the ultra wealthy. I know that's, you know, your guys' focus. But what Abu Dhabi is trying to do is trying to get, you know, more entrepreneurial people in, you know, to start businesses, you know, focus on their free zones. You know, they don't have to be massive multinationals or super high, you know, net worth individuals, but, you know, they want to create population, because if you don't have people coming to Abu Dhabi, you know,
population is
going to stay the same. So, that's the reason why Dubai house prices have gone up so much, right?
So you touch a good point about this new free zones. I mean, Kizad is I think it's something that's going to boom really, really quick. I think it's already...
People don't know, what is Kizad?
It's Khalifa industrial area. Mm. And they have their own port. I think it's the world's biggest aluminium smelter is over there. And they're trying to create a aluminium like hub in Kizad. I think the Etihad Airway also have a big... presence over there with the terminals, right?
Yeah, so the ports moved from Abu Dhabi to Kizad, so that's the main port for Abu Dhabi, and obviously it supplies a certain amount to the UAE, like, you know, like Jebel Ali.
When you say boom, what do you mean? It sounds cheap, like a port, like
cheap,
a hub.
Cheap
to me.
Energy, relatively cheap energy, cheap lease, the very cheap land lease. The infrastructure there is amazing.
So would you be able to have a warehouse in Kizad and have a business in Dubai? Does that cross reference?
Yeah, of course. I believe so. But I mean, I think Abu Dhabi will have a stronger industry than Dubai because of its size. And there's a lot more land. I mean, Kizad itself, is, if I'm not mistaken, it's bigger than Jebel Ali and DAP.
A lot bigger than Jebel Ali.
It's a massive.
I mean, it's a smaller port, but it might be a bigger area.
But the area, the industrial area itself, I think, is really big.
Possibly.
But I think that is in the next 10 years will grow a lot because of location. So.
All right, I think I'm bored of it about Abu Dhabi now.
Where do you see Dubai in the next 12 months?
That was going to be my next question. What are you excited for 2025?
I'm very excited about 2025. You can see my face. No, really.
Sleep.
Yeah, it's just sleepy. I'm very excited. I think Europe is going through a very bad phase, and this is very good for Dubai. A lot of very, very wealthy people still moving out of Europe, still moving out of England, because it's not a place for them. And all these very, very wealthy people are coming here, and they need places to live. You go to Emirates today, with 100 million budget, you cannot find a nice house. 100 million dirhams cannot get you a very nice house in Emirates Hills. And you have 40 million, you go palm, you can't find anything very, very nice. So I still think there is a shortage of good inventory in Dubai.
100 million dirhams is about $36 million.
So where do you think the new places, you know, for those kind of buyers will be? Are there any new projects that are coming up? Anything off plan, you know, being launched, being built?
There's a lot of nice projects coming around. I mean, but I think on that 10 million plus bracket is going to continue being on, you know, Dubai Hills, Emirates Hills. No, Emirates Hills now is to enter. The front gate is 40, 45 million dirhams.
I'll tell you what I think.
I'm still answering the question.
Oh, sorry, dude. You're right.
Bad habit.
Had a little woo.
I know.
say it.
Palm, Jumeirah Bay. Abarari is growing a lot in terms of high ticket transactions. But then you have like even Meadows now is transacting stuff renovated at, you know, 14, 15 million plus. Jumeirah Islands is insane right now. So there's a lot
Jumeirah Islands have reached an asking price of 50 million for a master view.
It's mad.
Now, you can get into Emirates Hills for that.
Yeah.
And renovate something. Yeah. Piece
it. Yeah, you renovate. Yeah. Yeah, you renovate it. So I think there's a lot of money coming to Dubai and for all levels, for the lower upskirt area is going to, you know, look positive because there's a lot of influx of employees, you know, mid area and the high net worth individuals. So
you think people are getting priced out?
No, people just shift to another location.
They're getting priced out of the prime areas. You know, we had a conversation with someone on YouTube recently, and they were saying, you know, Dubai is just too expensive to live in anymore. And, you know, you have to draw the comparison to London. Not everyone can afford to live in Mayfair.
Yeah, they'll shift to Oxford. Yeah, sorry, mate.
Jungle boy, that's fine.
Quick.
Yeah, look, I mean, people have to move to the suburbs, right? That's just the way it is. And the suburbs are cheaper. So, yes, people are being priced out of prime central Dubai.
Do you find that like, people get quite emotional about that? Because, obviously, if you're someone who's been in Dubai a while and you've seen, you know, the prices and been like, oh, okay, like, I don't know, Meadows or whatever it is. Yeah, you know, I could buy there, but I don't want to buy now because the market's still going down, et cetera, et cetera. And now, all of a sudden, those prices have doubled. People are like, well, now I can't even afford there.
Rightly so. Yeah. You should be upset about it.
Yeah, but that's kind of your fault. Like, you chose not to buy when you should have bought it.
Yeah, but no one knows when they should have bought it, right? Because you can't predict the market.
I think if you have the cash, you should buy it. If you have the cash and you decide not to because you think you can time the market and buy when it's cheaper, it's your fault. You know, move back off the line, bro. There's people with more money from the
I'm guilty of that. You know, I had the money, didn't buy, wish I'd bought more in our little neck of the woods but I thought, and I'm talking a year and a half ago, I was like, this can't keep going. I was guilty of that. But then I'm risk averse.
Well, I mean, you did buy your home though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have property here. Like, I've got my home and we've got other stuff. But, you know, had I known then what I know now, I would have sunk everything I had into it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just gambling, right? Well, had I known that horse was going to win, I would have put I don't think it's a matter of gambling.
I think you have to be in the market regardless of how good or bad the market is. If you are in real estate, you should be buying regardless of where the market is. But that's just my opinion because I'm very risk-taking. You know, if market is bad, you just try to negotiate further. If the market is very good, then you don't. But I don't think you should be out of the market because no one knows when the market flips. And no one can time the market. If we all could time the market, we're all billionaires here. But we're not.
We've digressed again.
Yeah, so is there anything like that's happening in Dubai that you're particularly excited about next year? Any launches, any new laws, any kind of, you know,
I'm excited to see what happens with the Chevelle Blanc development.
I don't know about it, right?
I'm not allowed to talk about that everyone knows about. You know, there's one story that you can only buy it through Sotheby's. There's another story that LVMH have sold them all before they even came to the market. There's booking forms that are apparently out there. Everything's supposed to be launched this year, but a lot of people are saying it's not going to happen. That, for me, I mean, that's So Chauvel Blanc, do you know anything about
White it? Horse?
Correct.
His I French don't, is but impeccable. I've heard of LVMH.
Okay, so Chauvel Blanc is arguably the best, behind, along with a man, arguably the best hotel group or brand in the world. Mm-hmm. They only have two, one in Maldives and one in Austria, I think.
France.
Is it France? That would make sense with the name. Anyway.
Mont Blanc.
Point is that they're supposed to be redeveloping or developing an island here. But there's so much misinformation around it, I would be interested to see what happens with it because there's a lot of interest, you know. And when you have a man hotel already coming here in the peninsula,
Rosewood's
a little less well known, but still an amazing.
Yes, you have one, yeah.
Brand. Amazing. I'm interested to see whether that happens because I don't know. There's just a lot of misinformation around it.
Exciting.
I'm still talking. I'm excited to see if there are any more villa developments launched because that is a real gap in the market. You know, there's a lot of buildings being launched. There are not that many villa developments being launched. But then you look at
same
them,
in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I mean, we need more houses for people, homes.
If you see them, the new master developer by MR, that Oasis, they keep launching phases to phase, but it's going to be a very, very large project. And they have houses with plots of 35,000, build up 25,000, selling at like 40, 45 million on the lagoon, which is very cheap.
Where is it?
Somewhere in Dubai land? I don't know. But there are projects, very large projects launched already. They're just releasing into phases. So I think we'll have a lot of new phases being,
villas.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say that email one was called?
Oasis, something?
Oasis.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like a lagoon. It's like a Jumeirah Islands on steroids. Like a lot of lagoons and some like fake beach thing in the middle.
There's a lot of confusion around land at the moment. There's a lot of people trying to buy land here and not really knowing who the owners are or not who the owners are, but how you can go about buying it, how you release the land. Obviously, there's this merger between a lot of the major developers and Dubai
who's
Holdings.
Who's
merging? Well, Nikhil and Dubai Holdings have merged. And there is a lot of confusion around the... Not confusion. There's a lot of teething problems with it, with the merger. And, you know, they've obviously increased their price per square foot for additional... GFA and
Miraz is part of them as well. No?
Yeah, Miraz is part together, of them. It's a huge merger that's happened very quickly between three massive companies. I mean, case in point, and I'm not sure if we can air this.
Yeah, we're getting sued on this episode. Yeah, I'm not.
No, we're not. I said nothing bad, but my planning application went forward in my house in January. I still haven't broken ground because there is there's confusion. Okay.
You can
keep the whole thing in. Okay. I think he wants to
get sued. Yeah.
He's trying to help me.
I want 2025 to be in jail.
I have to watch money take
I'm
some of it.
Looking forward to being in prison.
Joel's going to prison anyway.
Fabrizio's house.
Yeah. I know a guy called Fabrizio.
It's actually
so look, a boring story. I know a story of an individual who owns a house, put their planning consent in January, still haven't broken ground because the processes are still being ironed out internally between Nikhil and Dubai Holdings. And I think once those teething problems are ironed out, it's going to be really interesting to see the drive in development in Dubai. In terms of people renovating their houses again.
Are you guys launching enough, you think, at the moment? Or there's room for faster, more
launches? No, I think if you look at the launches, nothing's selling out overnight like it used to. So I think we're launching enough. I just don't think we're launching enough houses.
I hope it continues not launching so much because then you're not feeding the bubble because you're creating oversupply.
You think there's a bubble?
A potential bubble.
No, I don't think so.
A potential bubble.
I don't think so. But we talked about it in the last episode, so I won't repeat it. I don't think there's a bubble. I think there's a lot of very wealthy people coming in. But I think prices will continue growing further if there is less being offered.
I don't think we need to grow the prices anymore.
Yeah, 25% year on year is pretty
aggressive. I think if prices stabilize over 2025, that's going to be good for the market. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but look, for a ready house, for a development, a cheaper development makes sense. But if you, if you're looking to redevelop right now, prices of old houses grew too much as well. So you,
I think, if I can comment on that, I think owners of old houses are shooting themselves in the foot because 100%. They've priced themselves into a situation where only an owner who will buy and renovate and live in it themselves are going to pay the prices. But even they aren't prepared to pay the prices now, where there's no fat in the
game. In Emirates Hills, there are a few houses that are just not selling for some reason, yeah? So we have someone that's pricing their house at 55 million, you know, haven't sold it. You know what? Let's increase to 65. For me, it doesn't make sense, yeah? No. Like, you're not selling for 55. Just like, and then you increase your price of a not sell, like you couldn't sell before. Why would you make a sale now? Ah, okay, let's pay before he put it 75. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, but I mean, in all markets, there's those sellers, and then
no, but they're a lot. They're not few anymore. They're a lot of these guys are there.
Well, I mean,
these are the people that will call with their pants down when the market does change, you know, because at some point they are going to have to retrench on that price, and that will make them look bad in the market. You went up, and now you're pulling the price down. I'm going to take advantage of you. That's what buyers will think.
It's mad.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so anything else like any events that are happening in Dubai? Any big changes you see? Or
no, I mean, I think once the creases are ironed out of this merger with Dubai Holdings and its potential subsidiaries, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot more clarity in the market and in terms of
they'll have a massive land bank, a lot of cash.
No, I think
Dubai Holdings have all of the land now, basically. You know, Maras and Nikhil go to Dubai Holdings to get the land.
Yeah. Talking about, let's say, attention, there is a lot of attention right now on the canal. Like they say, from Sheikh Zayed Road Bridge to the sea. So that part of the canal, peninsula, and Jumeirah Bay, there is a lot of focus on that area now. And the price, they're selling stuff that ain't selling. It's insane. And I think
Maraba the Vale, you've got
so many
Palace Group building something down there.
So I think that area will be a very special area for in the next, say, 12 months.
Why would someone live there? Is it because everyone else
Location
is
amazing. It's a waterfront and beachfront, depending on where you're living.
Only one-third or half of any of the buildings will be waterfront. Because you've got to have the backside of the building.
All the canal is...
Yeah.
Then don't buy on the backside. Yeah. Don't buy the backside, bro. You know, so...
Someone's got to buy the backside.
Yeah. So there's a lot of attention on that area, and I think the price increase there will be bigger than anywhere else in Dubai. But that's my opinion.
Okay.
So you're buying there, are you?
I can't afford. I wish.
Being a broker is not as well paid as people think.
No, it does. But I mean, too bad going for 25 million, bro. Come on.
Oh, wow. It's that
much. Yeah, it's that much.
They're big. But listen, guys, I think we've been given the nod from the man behind the curtain or the camera to tie this one up. So I think we can all agree that 2025 looks like it's going to be good fun. Looks like there's going to be a lot of new launches, a lot of interesting developments in the market. So
big deals to be made.
Let's keep an eye on the rise of Abu Dhabi. Let's keep an eye on the creek and the canal in Dubai. And let's keep an eye on the launch of more villa properties. I thank you all for joining us. I've been Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Fabrizio.
We have been the two fat brokers and a Brazilian. Thanks for joining us.
And the fifth broker now.
A Brazilian. We'll stick with Brazilian. Thanks for joining us, guys. See you next time.